Thank you, God, for your word. And as we've studied the book of Acts, God, I thank you that it's stretched us and it's moved us and molded us. And God, I pray that as we learn from this early church, may we see you come forth in your power and presence like you did in that church. God, teach us to make good choices. And as we look at this passage today, we recognize that it's all about choices. And even when things are tough, and even when we've been wounded, and even when the world throws things at us, God, we recognize today that we struggle with the world and with our flesh, and the devil screams so loudly around us in our world. But God, I pray that you'd lead us through this narrative. May we see how people made decisions and those choices and what those choices led them to. Holy Spirit, do your work in us. Mold us, convict us, teach us, challenge us. And I pray that we would sense your love as you lead us. In Christ's name, amen. Well, we're in the second half of the chapter 13 in the book of Acts. And here it's a chapter about people making all sorts of decisions about all sorts of things, choices. And really, the fact of the matter is we're faced with choices, every one of us, every day of our lives. These choices will impact our lives, and they'll impact the people around us. And the Bible would tell us that these choices would have implications beyond our lives, beyond this life, even into life eternal. So the Bible, which is God's manual for us for life, would tell us that as we walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit would help us to make the best choices in life. So here we are in chapter 13. It's Barnabas and Paul that are on this first missionary journey. They're coming off the island of Cyprus, and they're heading up to Perga. And you'll see a map. I love maps, and I want to know what's going on. And so you can see their first part of chapter 13. They left Antioch, that great church, went into Cyprus, and now they're off to Perga. Well, verse 13 would tell us something very interesting. It just tells us that they're on this journey. But then it says, at the end of verse 13, it says, John left them to return to Jerusalem. And you read that little phrase and you think, well, that's not a big deal. Maybe someone's had enough. Maybe they're leaving. But John Mark here is making a choice. And the first point I want to make in my message is the privilege of choice, the choice to stay or to go. So here's a choice that John Mark is making. Now, we may not think, well, that's maybe not that significant, but it's interesting that this text has these leavings, these choices at the beginning and the end of the text. And so the choice to stay or to go, what happened here in this situation? Now, people have speculated about a lot of things that could have happened and why John Mark left this trip so early on and went back to Jerusalem. Was it because of a sharp disagreement? Many would say that's probably the reason that it happened. There were disagreements when missionary entourages went out like this. Or was it that the trip was too tough? And as you go from Perga onto Antioch, it's one of the toughest passes in all of the world. The Taurus Mountains are notorious for bandits and notorious for being one of the toughest journeys through that mountain range. And so did John Mark look at that and say, not sure I'm up to that. And maybe he just ran out of courage. I don't know. But we know that this disagreement was a sharp disagreement because we see it continue on a couple of chapters later. And we may think this is soon after, but it's sometime later. It may be a year or two that this whole episode comes up again. It spawns a whole new disagreement. And so we read in chapter 15, verses 36 to 39, it says, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia, and that's the province that they were working in, and had not continued with them in the work. Now listen to this. They had such a sharp disagreement that they actually parted company. And you may be thinking, come on, really? I thought these guys were mature. Here they are working together. They're strategizing together. They're praying together for the ministry. They struggled together. They were beaten up together. And here they are parting company. Is that okay? It's not only okay, but is it even normal? Well, I want to tell you that through the years of ministry, I've seen a lot of painful stories that have come out of the church and come out of people's lives. And they've come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. Little confrontations, little conflicts that happen. And they carry with them a whole lot of emotion. And there's people that are wounded deeply, and they feel the rejection, and they feel the guilt of what has happened. And some would say, I said too much. And some would say, I didn't say enough. Wish I had said this. And there are people who for years are hurt and wounded and sad and disappointed. And many will say, I'm not going there ever again. And here's the saddest part. They're stunted in their growth. You realize that God has a destiny for every one of us? He tells us that in His Word. And sometimes these situations can stunt us into not walking in the destiny that God has for us. Now, this could have happened to you in a similar way to this text, where you were in ministry with someone and all of a sudden there's this disagreement, there's this dust up, and people are all upset. And that happens. Or maybe it's happened to you in a larger context where you've been at church for many years and all of a sudden that church takes a left turn or they take a right turn and you're not going there. And all of a sudden it's all different. Or maybe it's the church that takes, or you that takes a left turn or a right turn, and you say, I'm not going there. And there's a necessary ending. And we all know that relationships go awry at times, and people don't live up to our expectations of when the relationship began or the ministry began, and things change and people change. And Jesus knew this, and He often said many times that there are reasons and there are ways to make these necessary endings. And so I'm not going to read it, not going to go into this detail, but it's on your bulletin insert if you want to take a look at this passage this afternoon. Sometime on your Sabbath this week. Matthew 18 is one of those passages where Jesus says, make this ending happen in a good way. Paul also in Titus chapter 3 in verse 10 says some similar things. And so what I'm saying here today, that this is natural and this can be normal, and there can be good reasons why we leave. And sometimes we don't have good reason. And there are people who leave relationships and leave churches and leave places unnecessarily. And I'm talking about if you would say, I didn't get what I want. It's all about me. I can't forgive. I can't confront. I want to fight, or I want to take flight. I want to do what I want to do. And that's not okay. That's not okay to leave when you just want to be immature, according to biblical standards. And you know, there's times when we just can't fix it, and I get that we need to move on. But can I encourage you to not leave a mess behind you? And so when people have come to us and said, you know, this is a relationship that I've had for many years, and I just want to run from this relationship, or this is a church I've been with for many years, I just want to run away, we go, you know, let's talk about that. We would love to send you back to that environment and help you to move through that. So it's a good ending. It's a necessary ending, but it's a good ending. So I would say to you, don't leave a mess. Be responsible. Be long-suffering. Be loving. Admit your part. Learn and grow through this situation. Learn something about yourself. And I would encourage you just to burn as few bridges in life as you possibly can. Because I've known as an old guy now that many times these things come back to you. And that's exactly what happens here in this situation. You never know when your paths are going to cross again. And this is exactly what happened here with Paul and John Mark. They will work together again in the future. And there's another little simple verse in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10. And here is Paul, who's writing to the Colossian church, and he's writing about, well, you wouldn't believe it, he's writing about John Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, the one that deserted them on that place in Perga. And here they are working together again. And so Paul is in Rome, so he's either under house arrest or he's in prison in chains. Maybe they're chained together. Wouldn't that be an interesting part? And so it says there, he's writing to Colossians, he says, my fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. They're working together again. That's a fascinating thing. You know, I'm convinced that God has a sense of humor, and he puts these things that weren't right back together so they can be made right. And if you're a person who often takes flight in conflict and just says, forget it, I'm leaving, and leave stuff behind, or you fight and make a mess, I'm just convinced that God comes back in those situations. He takes you back to those situations, and he says, let's make this right. Oftentimes, I found that in my life. So let me tell you from a pastor's heart. I've seen a lot of people come and go from churches and from situations, and I certainly understand necessary endings. And there's often a time when maybe someone has come to our church, and as a new church, as a church plant, we found in the early days that many people would come from all over the place and believe all sorts of things. And there's some times actually when people would come and they would argue with me after the passage or after the service, and they would say, you said this, I don't believe that. I believe that all people in all the world will go to heaven or whatever they would say. And I often said to them, you know, instead of us having these talks every weekend, I love you and I'd like you to continue here, but this isn't going to work because you just believe some fundamentally different things than we do. So can I help you? Can I pray for you that you would find a church that would match what you believe? Because we're just going to be in conflict. And that was a necessary ending that needed to happen with people through the years. But where my heart is I just want to talk. We're all in this journey together. And so I would encourage you, instead of just leaving, make sure you talk to one of the pastors. I'd love to talk to you. I love to bless people as they go. I understand. I understand that there's a time when we need to move on. And I get all that. And I just would love to bless people. I don't have any enemies. And I don't want to have any enemies. I don't want to see someone in the aisle in the superstore or wherever, whatever store we're in, and all of a sudden I go, oh, I better take another aisle because I want to avoid this guy. And I've seen people doing that with me. I don't want any of that. I don't want that. So let's realize that when we're in church, we're a part of a body. And there's that connectedness. And some of you are the hand, and some of you are the feet, some of you are the eye, some of you are the ear. And when you just walk away, it's going, oh, we just lost our sense of hearing here. Or we just lost our sight a little bit here. We need everybody as they contribute in the body to be a part of the body. So it's a big deal when we leave, and it should be a big deal. And so God, would you help us in these ways? There's a reason that God has us together. He's shaping us and he's perfecting us. Another thing that I find fascinating is that God still does ministry even out of our brokenness and even our immaturity. I want to take you to the next point here, where both John Mark and Paul and Barnabas all went on and did fruitful ministry. So something happened here that didn't leave them scarred and hurt and wounded so they could go on and do ministry. So that's my point number two. They made a choice to continue. Now, Paul and his group went on to fruitful ministry. John Mark went on, many would feel, to write that he was the writer of the book of Mark. We also know, as we looked in Colossians, that he was also still in ministry in Rome. So both these guys went on, and they continued to do ministry. Let's look at some of this fruitful ministry that Paul had. Chapter 13 again, and if you have your Bible, we're going to be running through some things here. Your Bible will be very helpful for you. We're not going to camp on the verses, but we're just going to hit some of these verses. It's a long chapter. Chapter 13, verses 14 and 15, it says, from Perga they went on to Pisidian Antioch. And so you see another map here, and this map takes them right up inland, and they've gone over this pass, and this is the kind of ministry that they had there. It says, on the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down, and after reading from the law and the prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them, saying, brothers, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak. So we're going to follow that this morning. And I'm just going to go down and just going to talk to some of you. No, just kidding. Wouldn't that be interesting? First time in church, the pastor comes down with a mic and says, enlighten us on a word from the Lord. Wouldn't that be interesting? But he goes on, and actually Paul does it. He says, standing up in verse 16, Paul motioned with his hand and he said, fellow Israelites and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. He's pretty bold here for being in church for the first time. The word of the God of the people of Israel chose our ancestors, and he made the people prosper. Now, one of the things that Paul does, and we have three different messages that Paul preaches in the book of Acts. This is the longest one. Very interesting how he seeks to identify with the people. He tailors his message to the people. He just hasn't got this standard message that he stands up and says, okay, everybody's getting the same message. No, in this message in particular, he identifies with the people. Now, I don't know how good you are at this, but I seek to make it a practice to try and say, how can I tell people about Jesus? How can I make this conversation be about God? And you want to do it so that you're not weird. You want to do it so it's natural. And so oftentimes you maybe know this person. If you don't, you listen long enough to know them. And I did a lot of my preaching and evangelism from the seat of a Greyhound bus. I used to drive for Greyhound out of Regina. So we'd be on long trips all the way to Calgary. You ever made that journey? Oh, it's just flat. On the one going from Regina to Manitoba, Winnipeg, same kind of thing. It's pretty boring stuff. And so I would sit in the front seat and I'd get talking to the passengers. And you know me, I love to yap. And so we'd get talking. And we'd be talking about all sorts of things. And I'd be praying at the same time. I'd be saying, God, what is the point that I can make you known in this conversation? And the interesting thing was, had lots of talks. I sort of realized that every second trip, it seemed like I was having a very significant conversation with someone. All because of that intention to tailor my message of Jesus Christ to where their life, where the intersection of their life is. And so there was many times when we would be talking and you know, the Holy Spirit used this. And I felt like God gave me that job in an incredible way. There was no doubt that God had his hand upon me to have that job while I was in Bible college. And so I wanted to use it to serve him. And interesting, when we'd get into these conversations with people, I could look in the mirror and I could see probably six rows back. They're all straining to hear because they're bored, right? And they're thinking, here's an interesting conversation going on. I want to get in on this. And sometimes after the trip, someone would come up to me and say, hey, I'm a Christian. Loved what you had to say, or didn't agree with what you had to say. But many times I carried tracts, I carried Bibles, I carried books and all sorts of things with me. And I would pass those out to people. Or I'd give them to the people that I'd been talking to. And there was about four, five, six occasions where we actually got off the bus at the end of my run. And I led them to the Lord in the restaurant. So it was ways to figure out how can I tailor my message so that the Word of God can be put in here. Ever think like that? I encourage you to think like that. Those are some of the greatest moments of my life, and I'll tell you why. Because I feel the Holy Spirit when I'm doing what He's called me to do. I sense His power and presence surging through me. Some days I'd ride my bike home and I'd think, oh, that is the best day I've had. Because I got to talk about Jesus. I encourage you to use those moments with your workmates. Don't get weird, and don't push the conversation in a weird way, and don't be pushy, just be natural. But learn how to do this. It's a bit of a skill that you learn as you go, how to be natural about this. Paul did this. Listen to what he did. Here's exactly what he did. Verse 17, he identifies with the people, and he tells them, first of all, I'm one of you. I'm a fellow Israelite. And so God did some amazing things with our ancestors, and he begins to talk about it. Verse 17, he said, God chose us. He made us prosper in Egypt. That's the kind of love he has for you. And everybody goes, yeah, amen. And then verse 18, he goes on again. God put up with our lack of commitment and our sin in the desert. And everybody goes, yeah, I identify with that. I know that history. Verse 19, it says, he overthrew the people in the promised land and cleared a path. And everybody goes, yeah, I know that. I identify with that. Verse 20, he gave us leaders, judges, kings, and prophets. And he talks about some of the heroes of the faith. It's like us talking about some of what's going on this morning when the Canadian team is going to play the Russian team for the gold medal. We're going to say, yeah, I know Taylor Hall. I know these guys. Just brings people right into the conversation. He says, yeah, we've had Samuel, and we've had Saul, and we've had David, even John the Baptist. And then he turns. All that, then he turns to talk about Jesus Christ. And the people there would not have known much about Jesus, because this is a long ways from Jerusalem and where Jesus lived. They would have known something about him, I'm sure, but not a lot about him. And so he launches in. He says, do you realize that Jesus, salvation came through Jesus Christ? God sent him because he chose us, because he loves us, because he wants to clear a path for us to spend eternity with him. He brought us Jesus. And he says, Jesus came to die just as you saw it prophesied. In verse 28 and 29, he talks about that. And he says in verse 30, just like Peter used to preach, he raised him from the dead. In verse 31, he was seen by many. Paul is saying that's very significant for what we believe. He talked about the significance of Jesus' death and what it means. And then Paul went on to explain, you can't be neutral about Jesus Christ. And that's my third point. You will need to make a choice. You will need to accept Jesus or you will reject Jesus. There's no middle ground. He says in verse 32 and 33, we tell you the good news that God promised our ancestors. He has fulfilled for us their children by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have become your father. So these are verses that they would have known, they would have read and understood. And he says, he goes, takes them to Isaiah 55 and to Psalm 66 as well as Psalm 2. And he says, this is what's been prophesied. Jesus would come as our Savior, as our Messiah. You need to accept him as your Savior, and he will and become followers of Jesus. And when you accept Jesus Christ, the barrier between us and God is going to be lifted. We're not going to be living under the law anymore, but there's something new that's taken place, and it's about Jesus. You will actually become his son and daughter, and he will be your father. Did you see that at the end of 33? Then he goes on to say in verse 38 and 39, therefore, dear friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is pronounced to you. Now, we've seen through the book of Acts that this forgiveness of sin has been a very important theme. And so it's been in chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 5, chapter 10, and on it goes. This forgiveness of sin is so important. And we're going to learn more about that, and that the fact that the law could not do away with all our sin for all time. There was an imperfection in some of that that Jesus came to fix. We're going to look at that in the next coming weeks as we kind of move from Acts into Galatians. And then we can see that he goes on to say, through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you are not able to obtain under the law of Moses. So he begins to use this word justification, which is a word that we're going to see a lot in the book of Galatians as we begin to move. You'll understand that Acts and Galatians kind of go like this, and there's crossovers because the book of Galatians is written right to the people that he is talking about right here. And this word justification is simply a legal way of expressing the same thing as forgiveness of sin. When a person is justified, he or she is made right with God, declared to be made righteous. But only through Jesus will God justify a person so that he or she is considered righteous. Paul comes to the conclusion of his message, and he says, you're offered a choice. You can choose Jesus Christ and invite him into your life, and then in so doing make peace with God, or you can reject his offer of salvation. God gives us that ability to choose what we want to do. We are offered that kind of choice. But Paul tells him, if you opt for the second choice and you reject him, do you understand what you're doing? Do you understand what your prophet Habakkuk had to say about this? In Habakkuk 1:5, he reiterates that verse in verse 40 and 41 of Acts 13. He says, take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, and then he quotes this, look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I am doing something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. So he's saying, don't be one of these people that the prophet is talking about here that rejects this great salvation, that would sit in ridicule and mock and scoff about the message that God wants to bring you. Don't be that person. Take this prophecy to heart and accept this good news about Jesus and the place that he desires to be in your heart. accept him, invite him in. And Paul leaves that choice with the audience that morning. Come to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Very interesting verse. It says, so we must listen very careful to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. For the message God delivered has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think that we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him? Stern warnings in Scripture about not accepting Jesus Christ and what that means. It's a choice we have. So how did the audience react? Goes on to talk about this. They also will make a choice. And so there's some good news and some bad news. And the good news reads like this. It says in verse 42, as Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas. What it means there is not that they necessarily followed them physically, but they followed them spiritually. They understood them. They didn't reject them. And they followed the things of God. Very important. Perseverance is what we're talking about here. And Paul will talk some more about that in Galatians. Perseverance is the mark of saving faith. And so he's telling these people, you need to follow in God's ways. Paul and Barnabas, who talked to them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. And it says even further that some of the other good things that happened. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. So there was great success. And people chose to accept Jesus and to walk with him. But there are those who reject. Listen to verse 45. It says, then the crowds, when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. So these are the ones who rejected. It says another positive thing in verse 49, the word of the Lord spread through the whole region. And then some bad news, but the Jewish leaders incited God-fearing women of high standing and leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region. So the last choice that's being made here is right at the end of this chapter. And that last choice is that they are kicked out of that region. So they could go away and they could feel rejected. They could be angry. They could be sad. They could be a lot of things. And you realize one of the things we get to choose is our attitude in these situations. We get to choose our attitude. We can be bitter and we can be angry, but they chose not to. They said, we're not victims here, but we walk in the victory of Christ. And listen to verse 50. Listen to verse 51 and 52. It says, so they shook the dust off their feet as a warning to them. That's a warning to the people in this town. And they went on to Iconium, and that's chapter 14, which will be in a couple of weeks. Verse 52, listen to this. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. You've heard me talk a lot about this. This gift that the Holy Spirit has given us. This filling of the Spirit that we ask for. Some of us think, well, if I walk with God, I just will get it automatically. That's not what it says. Many times I've said here, God wants you to ask for these things. You need to ask to be filled. And maybe you've had one of these collisions, and maybe you've got a tough decision about what to do with your life and where to worship and what church, and you've got these decisions to make. What a great time to pray, God, would you fill me with your Spirit? I need some extra presence and power from you. That's an option that I think we should be exercising every day that we can possibly do it. That is a good choice, because it says there that they were filled with joy, and there's a lot of things that the Holy Spirit brings when he fills us. He brings us peace and joy and understanding and love and just so many things. It's really the way to live. It's the choice to make. So in conclusion, life is full of choices and necessary endings. But I pray that we would choose wisely, because many of the choices that we make have to do with the destiny that God has marked for us. And I never want to be put on a sideline from the destiny God has for me because I haven't ended well. And so I pray that we would end well. And I want to just pray for all of us, and like we always do around here, we hold our hands like this in the book of Acts. And we say, God, what you promised us in the book of Acts, we want it. We want all of it. And so today as I pray and as I close, I want us to hold our hands like this. It's your option. It's your choice of whether you want all that God wants to give you. Let's pray together. God, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the hope and all the things it holds out to us. And God, I believe that you've given us passages like this to help us understand how to work through these necessary endings in life. And God, that we would be responsible with them because they have a lot to do with how we move on in life. And so God, this week, in fact, every day this week, we're going to be making choices. What we're doing with our lives. And God, these choices may be around our money, maybe around our resources, maybe even around our attitude. Maybe around some relationships, even within our own home or at work. Choices that come up in our family, our walk with you, the gifts you've given us and the talents and how we would use them. God, these all these choices we make. As we hold our hands like this, we pray that you would rule and reign and that we would be a part of your kingdom. Oh God, empower us to make wise choices. Let us be ruled by, not by our emotions or by sinful desires, but God, I pray that we would walk in the Spirit and in the wisdom of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.